Good morning, KRFY listeners. Thanks for tuning in this morning. This is the KRFY Morning Show, and I'm Susie Prez. And today is Wednesday, September 14th, and just so everyone knows, it's my son's birthday. He's 36 years old, so happy birthday, Ben Prez, over there in Spokane. This is the Morning Show, and we are live in the KRFY studio, and I have three smiling faces looking at me right now. From the Forest Bird Charter School, we have Principal Jennifer Greaves.
Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Jennifer. And we have middle school teacher Morgan Bloomer.
Good morning.
Good morning, Morgan. And new school counselor Angela Hardin.
Hi.
Good morning. And what's really unique about this is we're going to be showcasing the school, which is an awesome service in our community. But also what's special is these two people, besides Jennifer, we're former students, so there's kind of a real hook there to find out why they came back to work at Forest Bird Charter School. Must be a reason. But before we get to that, let's do the weather from the National Weather Service, because it's a little different out there than we've been seeing lately, isn't that, girls?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Rain when we walked in, it was nice.
Yes. Okay, and let's see, we have... From the National Weather Service, we have hazardous weather condition. What's that about? I wonder what they're talking about. We also have 59 degrees at this point in time. We have showers 60% in the morning, diminishing to 40% likely. High today of 73. Low tonight, mostly clear. Low tonight, 45. And then looks like we have sunshine coming up. So let's enjoy this water, this moisture in the air, and let's hope that it blows out some of the smoke, because we've been dealing with that for quite a while. And that is the weather from the National Weather Service. So let's get to our interview, because this is fun. I want to welcome you all to the new school year. It's an exciting time. I know those first few days and weeks are really interesting, meeting the new students. And what does this new school year look like? We'll start with Jennifer, since you've got the overview of what's going on. Enrollment, new programs, challenges.
You know, it's great. Everybody has talked about since the pandemic and coming back to normal. And I think that's a little bit of what it feels like for us. You know, our middle school is pretty much full. We've got good numbers in our high school. We see everybody on campus each day. It is that feeling of being back to school, even with the glorious beginning of the year chaos that happens. So we brought in a bunch of new people, and I brought two of them with us that it's really exciting for us to have former students returning. We have four total, which is great because they're bringing a new perspective to the students that we currently have about what school is like for them. And so everybody wanted me to bring all four, but I know how tiny your studio is, Susie, so I was only able to bring two. But I do want to give a good shout out to Skylar Kent and Ryan Seist, who came on each last year, Skylar 2 years ago. Skylar is one of our technicians for our IT department, and Orion has taken on, taking over as custodial duties with our glorious friend Ray Smith. And then Angela, who I brought with me, is our school counselor. Point out Morgan, who I've also brought with me, is our middle school English teacher, and it's just, I'm sure people in the district and other schools feel this all the time, that, you know, they've been around so long, kids come back all the time to work with them. We're 20 years, we just hit our 20-year anniversary last spring, which is just crazy to me. You know, being there when we just had a little office above the old Ponderay Brewery, like we had a little tiny office up there, and now we have a whole school, and now, full circle, we have our students coming back to work with us, which is just wonderful. So anyway, I think those are some of the biggest things for us. Now we are starting to look at things, and having, you know, Morgan and Angela and Orion and Skylar come on, we can start looking at the longevity of our school. You know, we made it to 20 years. This community has been wonderful with us. Our families have been amazing. We want to look at the next 20, next 40, next 60 years, and how can we keep that cycle going of people coming back to work with us. It's pretty exciting.
It really is. And just as a little note, before it even started, it was kind of in someone's office. I think it was Jill Kahn's office. Mm-hmm. I actually started going to some of the meetings, having been part of a Waldorf school, because we wanted to know what our students from the Waldorf school could look forward to, another option in education as they moved out of our school. So I was there in the beginning, too.
You were, Susie.
In
that's
a sort
right.
of weird way. But so we're going to share that microphone, just so you know.
Yep.
Because we're getting some feedback on number four. And let's see, what can we go to next? Well, that's a nice overview. What are some of the, every year kind of has a new flavor to it. Could you give a picture of what that this year's might look like? Some of the things you're looking forward to?
Well, what's interesting is there's a lot of new, because it's a lot of new students in the middle school and the high school. So there's going to be a lot of community building. I think all of our teachers really focus on how to best build the community at each grade level. So the kids know that it's not them in a vacuum, that they have a group of people there with them, whether it's fellow students, whether it's older students, whether it's their teachers and advocacy teachers. So it's bringing that in. And I think the other thing that why I keep saying new is that this feeling of how can we keep going? You know, what's going to be our long-term set up for our community of Sandpoint and beyond is teachers, after the pandemic, I think teachers really were able to look at what they've been doing in their classrooms and say, okay, you know what? That was great for that amount of time. Now we need to do something different. Now we need to try something new. And so they're coming up with some really great ideas.
Well, let's talk with the English teacher, and I don't know if this is, how many years have you been teaching English, Morgan?
This is my third year teaching ELA, so it's exciting because I still feel like I'm a new teacher, but I'm also a little more experienced now, so I'm not just flying by the seat of my pants. I do have a little, you know, a couple things in my repertoire of knowledge that I can pull from if I need to, but being at the charter school is a completely different ballgame because we're so project-based. We really focus on community, seeing the kids for who they are as individuals, as well as the whole collective. And so that's really, honestly, why I came back, was because as a student, I felt that way. Like, I felt seen, I felt heard, I felt valued. And now I get to make that for other students coming up.
So just as an example, what would be something you could do in the classroom to kind of bring that connectivity back to bringing the students into a sense of community in their new school, if they're new, and how exercises or telling stories, what would be just one example of how you might accomplish that?
Well, the very, very first day of school, everyone went to their advocacy, and I'm a seventh grade advo teacher, so almost all of them were new to the school. There were only, I think, two or three in my advo of 14 that were returning, and so we decided right away, I thought it was very important that everyone knew each other's names. I feel the most welcomed when students, or not even just students, when people acknowledge me, say good morning, and they also say my name, which as a teacher, now I do that. My goal is to know every student's name by the, like, I think tomorrow is Thursday, right? So yeah, tomorrow's my deadline I've set for myself. And I'm like 90% there already.
And how many students do you have?
How many do we have? I think there's...
The middle school has about 150, maybe give or take a few numbers. And then our high school is just a little under that. So we're just under 300 total.
So back to Angela. So how many... You're memorizing the names of all your... I'm sorry, Morgan. You're memorizing I just met you. memorizing the names of your students. How many students is that you have to learn?
For me personally, I believe, because I have set all of the 7th grade and all of the 8th grade, it's about, I want to say 80.
Okay.
Roughly, maybe a little more.
Just about 90. Right?
Okay, yeah. So that's not 30 students. That's So you have. I hope you get there tomorrow.
yeah, me too.
And you mentioned advocacy, and I'm curious because I think I've heard that a few times here today. Is that so that a student feels really supported?
Absolutely. That is pretty much the goal of advocacy. If a student ever has any issues or anything that they're struggling with, academically, socially, emotionally, anything like that, their Advo teacher is their go-to person. That is their safe place. In my advocacy, we actually made this joke on the first day because I was a little nervous. It was my first Advo experience as a teacher leading that. And so I said, you guys, we're a family here. And then one kid was like, well, I'd like to do the dishes. Well, okay, then who's going to clean the bedrooms? Okay, you're going to do that. Okay, well, since I'm like the head poncho in here, I guess I'll cook dinner. However, it might be like quick meals. It's not going to be something gourmet.
So just really getting to know each other, yes, in a way and feeling that sense of family. Let's switch over to Angela now.
Yes.
And because I would imagine, have you always had a school counselor at the school?
We had one for about 5 years, and she recently just had to leave us. So initially within the school, we didn't have the funding for it. Mm-hmm. And this young woman, Vicki Visecki, came along and was just amazing with the school and really created a wonderful program for our students. And then when she made a personal choice and she had to leave, Angela came on and was able to step into some things that have been set up. So this is going to be a great next step.
So, Angela, welcome to the school.
Thank you.
How do you participate in the whole picture of the school and in the advocacy area? And then what are your goals and objectives this year?
So, you know, it has been kind of a whirlwind, I would say, for me to come back to this school being in this position now because, as Jennifer said, I was a former student and was there. I went there from 7th grade through 11th grade. And, you know, my experiences with the charter school as a student were something that I find it hard that you can get that experience in other schools, in other public schools. And, you know, ultimately for me, my parents and I had gotten together and we made that decision based off of academics. Because of the smaller school size, it was easier to get more one-on-one time with the teachers and have that sense of community and just that personable aspect, which really did help me succeed academically. Probably not as much as I want, I would say. my grades were not exactly the best, but I survived high school. That's what I like to say. But what's funny is fast forwarding, you know, 10 years now, I graduated at the top of my class from Grand Canyon University and was a part of the National Society of Collegiate Scholars during my bachelor's program and was full-time nursing in the ER, actually, prior to coming to the charter school during the pandemic. So basically, the pandemic kind of exhausted me, as I know it did a lot of my other coworkers at the time. And I was right on the cusp of finishing my bachelor's program. And then I remember specifically when I filled out the application, because I was working a night shift, and this job popped up, and I'm like, no way. I cannot believe it. I'm like, I guarantee you they're going to be shocked if I put in my application. I thought it was just so cool. I was so excited about it. So I did. I threw in my application, and I think I had an interview like a day or two later. They contacted me immediately, and it was funny because during that interview, I remember Jennifer and I getting a little bit emotional about it because I told her, I was like, gosh, you know, I bet you never thought that I was going to get to this point. And she looks at me and she goes, oh, I always knew it. You know, so when I heard that, it's just that thing, like you do build that family, as Morgan was saying, and you have these teachers that believe in you. And for me back then, it was these teachers believed in me a lot of the times that I didn't believe in myself. And that's now shown, you know, 10 to 15 years later down the road. So, and then as far as my role goes, I mean, I came on wearing a lot more hats than I was anticipating wearing, but, you know, it's been fun. It's been a ride. And, you know, for me, obviously the core focus is being a support system for the students and teaching them how to advocate for themselves. As well as ensuring the connection between teachers and even more so beyond that, I help Jennifer with families and making sure that we're really kind of keeping everybody as a team to support the students, which is really, really great. And again, that's another thing that I, with the charter school, that I just don't know that you find very often.
So that is a goal now, but both of you, Morgan and Angela, as students there, did you feel that extreme intentional support as students also?
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. Morgan. That's actually why I came back, was because I saw that, just kind of like Angela, it was just on a whim that I saw this application, and I said, there's no way I'm not applying for that job. I loved it there. I went to just the middle school. The high school had just been built in my 8th grade year, but I decided to go a different route. But I am kind of sad I didn't go to the high school, at our charter high school, because they had so many opportunities and amazing things. Not to diss on any of the, you know,
right,
the local other high, yeah, schools, but just I always felt seen, valued, heard. I felt like I was in a family, but I was also learning. And I really hope that the students feel that now. I think that they do.
Yeah, and that's been also the fun thing for me now, is knowing that I see a lot of myself in these kids that are coming through this, through the charter school, and knowing that Morgan and I did live that experience, especially with Jennifer back then. You know, it's been awesome to see how that's all kind of come full circle, and then charter school is excelling as it has been for, as Jennifer said, 20 years now, so.
Well, and I think I want to tag on to what the ladies are talking about, because we do focus so much on the students, right? You know, puberty in teen years is so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. And I feel like that one of the things that I love, that in the time that I've become a principal, and now I have a title of Dean of Students, and so I do everything with the kids, but I'm also really there for our parents. I mean, being a parent of a 12, 13, 16, 17-year-old in this day and age, it's hard. And sometimes you just want somebody to say, no, you're doing a good job. You're doing the right thing. Or you want somebody to, like Morgan said, with kids, be seen. Parents want to be seen, too. And so when we talk about family, that's the other thing, is that we have parents that sometimes they come back. Their kids are at college or in the Marines or whatever, and they'll stop in to say hi, right? I mean, that... all of that is about them knowing that we care for their student, we see them, we see their student, and we are a team working for the best effort of their child.
So how would you kind of indicate to parents, do you have like parent appreciation night? Or
ooh, that's a great idea.
I know. Like really celebrate the what would it be called, like the vocation as a parent.
Yeah.
Because it is a vocation.
It is a vocation.
I'm thinking about my 36 years as a parent. It never stops.
It never stops.
But
that's a great idea. Somebody write that down for us. No, but I think that's great. I mean, and it's also guardianship, right? Sometimes it's foster parents. Sometimes it's grandparents. Sometimes it's an aunt and uncle that have taken a kiddo on. And just stepping into that role as the adult guardian of this human being is really overwhelming at times, right? Like, you're crying at these wonderful, proud moments and accomplishments, and then at the next step, you're worrying to death, like, are they safe in the car going across the Long Bridge? I don't know. I mean, like, right now, mine's a senior at our school, and she drives Coast Falls, and it's Coeur d'Alene a couple times a week for classes. And I'm like, okay. She's okay, really. She's got a Subaru. It's a good car. She's fine. Dad takes care of it. We got family, friends. Okay, she's good. She's fine.
Yeah, helping parents learn to trust and put their children into the world.
Right.
I mean, think about, well, none of you have probably experienced this quite yet, but the first time you take them to college and you leave them there.
Oh, my gosh. And Susie, don't say
I'm
that.
I'm sorry.
That's happening September.
Well, prepare yourself. Find something new to do. I got into a band and started playing guitar when that happened. So find some. That was 18 years ago.
Okay. I'll start working on it.
Find something. You got to have your own life. Anyways, it sounds like the charter school is a gem in our community, and for all the hard work that the people before you and now you have taken it up, and Jennifer, you've been there a long time, we can only be excited and pleased that we have something so special in our community.
I think Sandpoint's, we've talked about this before, I really feel Sandpoint for our size is so blessed in the options for education that they have. I mean, with the district, with the charter, with Waldorf, with the privates, there are options for every family to meet what their child's need are.
Right. I never thought like the word when I was working at the Waldorf school that we were an alternative. I just felt we were a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Another choice for parents for the right, you know,
it's
different. It's, anyways. I wanted to just, I had a few more questions.
Sure.
We talked about former students coming back. Welcome back. What do you think gets students at Forest Bird Charter School excited about getting up and going to school every day? Is it the curriculum, the style of teaching, the atmosphere, the culture? Who wants to speak first? I'll say your name.
I'll go.
Morgan.
I'll go. I think that the projects and the overall just environment, there's music playing as the kids come in every day. Jennifer and our secretary Maddie. They're amazing. They're always with greeting students with smiling faces, students and staff. I'll admit they greet me with a smile and music and fun, and then they come right into advocacy where they're greeted once again. And I think really the thing that drew me to the charter school when I was a student was the fact that we did projects that helped us get ready for the next step, whether that was college, whether that was a trade, whether that was going to work locally here in town. For me, I felt like I had the skills to be ready for that because of the charter school. And I think that the projects are really what bring that whole kind of atmosphere together, the excitement. We work on them in class. It builds the suspense. It's like, okay, here it is. Here's our big event. Here's what we're doing. Or, you know, just even the smaller projects too. We're very project-centered, so that's really what's fun. And kids get to choose things. They have choices, whereas in other schools, they might not get as many choices as to what they want to do. We really focus on it being student-driven. They choose based on their passions, different things that they are enjoying. And so that's what I think brings them.
Yeah, I absolutely would agree. I think there's a little bit of everything to be said about all those aspects of the charter school culture, definitely. And then for me as a student, it was, you know, as Morgan said, all the different projects. You know, I still remember all the different projects that we did back then. And, you know, it was funny because when I first came to the charter school, I was this little withdrawn in my shell kiddo that did not like to be standing up in front of a classroom, was so nervous, would talk a mile a minute just to survive, you know, having to present any kind of a project. And by the end of it, I came out of my shell so much, and a lot of that was associated with being challenged in that aspect of my personality. And so we did things like mock trials, which I still remember to this day was fun, where we kind of did this, trial set up as if we were in a courtroom, and we had this case we had to read over. And then Todd Klontz, who's our social studies teacher, one night we were doing a World's Fair project, and Todd and I became really, really good friends by the end of my time at the charter school. He was one of those people that really challenged me in that regard, and I still remember to this day, he told me one time, he's like, well, nobody gets an A in my class, and I'm like, you sure about that? but that obviously was far from the truth. There were students that got A's in Todd's class, but he really challenges students, as all the other teachers do, to go above and beyond their comfort zone. And, like I said, 10, 15 years later now, I'm a mom and married and mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff. And, you know, for me now looking forward, it's like a no-brainer that my kids are going to be going to that school as well, just for what I went through with them and how I know the school operates.
Well, and I think, too, to tag on to the ladies a little bit again, I think Morgan really hit onto something, too, that in terms of when the students have an idea, the teachers really work with that, you know, whatever their passions are, whatever their ideas are. If it can work within a framework of the standards we're working on, we're going to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Before we started the interview, I was telling you about, we were talking about Morgan and her yearbook class, and we're calling it storytelling, mm-hmm. and the different ways that that can happen and the storytelling aspect of the world. And we talked about bringing music into that. And then we talked about, you were bringing up the radio and options with that. And I told you the story. We had a high school teacher, Mark Weber, who did a ham radio elective. He is interested in it. He had some kids that were interested in it. He came to Mary Jensen and myself and said, can I do this class? We were like, of course you can do this class. This is great. And they ended up having a whole ham radio event at the school once school was out on the field at the school, because Mark and some kids were talking about it and they thought mm-hmm. it was a great idea.
So what's really interesting is that the students have a lot of options and mm-hmm. leeway within the standards mm-hmm. to kind of come up with creative ideas, but it sounds like the teachers do too. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. I'm Susie Prez. This is The Morning Show, and I'm here with folks from the Forest Bird Charter School, Principal Jennifer Greaves, new school counselor Angela Harden, and middle school teacher and yearbook coordinator Morgan Bloomer. And we're talking about the wonders of our Forest Bird Charter School and all the things. So it really supports the teachers, because when you think about a teacher having a vocation or a school counselor, it's basically the mm-hmm. same. Your staff, you're supporting the students.
Right.
Having options for creative ideas and mm-hmm. stuff, I think that is an aspect of Forest Bird that is, again, within the standards, mm-hmm. getting those students ready for the next step. It is an kind of one of the star points of the charter school.
Yes. And that's what I love, too. I mean, we are so grateful, Barry and I, for our faculty and our staff as a whole and the commitment that they have to the school and really to each other and to the students, because we try to give them freedom. If they have a great idea and we know where it fits and it's going to help kids expand their horizons, we want to be able to do that as much as we possibly can. And so, you know, sometimes there might be a crazy idea that we have to say, no, I don't think so. But
it's correct. Bring it in a little bit, yeah.
Let me go this way with that idea. But for the most part, we try to really just open that door because, as we all know, education's everywhere. It's not contained in a little room in this one building. It is all over the place. And, you know, we talk about projects a lot, but one of the things I also love is the collaboration our teachers do with each other. You know, between English and social studies, between science and social studies, between different math grade levels, and having the math work with the science as well, so that kids are seeing it's not in a vacuum. You're not just in this room doing this one thing, and that's the only place it's used. It is everywhere.
So an example of that would be if you did have a radio broadcast, because that's articulation, diction, mm-hmm. all those kind of things. You have to be prepared. You have mm-hmm. to know how to speak. You have mm-hmm. to have an English understanding mm-hmm. of the English language, and also engineering mm-hmm. if you were doing that, something like that. I wanted to just kind of go off a little bit on one thing you said, these projects. Do you do any service projects in the community as an interface for those students, because they are going to be going into the bigger world?
We started I guess it's been 2 years now, in the middle school. In our spring trimester, we have a class called CAP, and it's Collaborative Action Period. And so the entire sixth grade is together for that period, the entire seventh, and the entire eighth. And they are working with different elements about what does it mean for sixth grade, it's what does it mean to be part of our little community? Seventh grade, what does it mean to be part of our larger community? And for eighth, what kind of role am I going to play in a larger community? The teachers did a great job coming up with different service projects within those themes. Our seventh graders have done a great job. Our seventh grade teachers have done a great job. Get ready for this, Morgan. It's coming up in the spring. Well, they'll do service activities with, there's an assisted living center right next to the school. And so they'll do things with the people there. There are times where they've talked about going out and doing trail cleaning. The eighth graders have brought people in from the community that the students can meet to know who's out there in their community that might be helpful to them. I also know that in our high school, the spring trimester is where our high school students do their individual projects. They have all of their curriculum in first and second trimester, and then in third trimester, they work on a project that is going to then demonstrate standards that they've learned across the year. And in many of those cases, students have chosen different service projects as a piece of what they were going to do. There was a year, and forgive me, sometimes they blend together, but we had some students who went to the hospital and worked as volunteers at the hospital and did a bunch of things there and explored jobs and what they wanted to do. We have had kids again go and do trail cleanup, all sorts of different things that they want to find ways to help and bring back to their communities. So those are the key places that we're trying to do that connection.
And when we're talking about integrating into the community, how do the students, because the rest of their tribe is at the high school, and yep. it's a tribe.
It's a tribe.
They're looking for each other, and yeah. they're trying to find their community.
Yep.
How do they integrate or interface with the high school students? Is there any opportunities in the curriculum and for that?
Well, the number one way, the district has been great about letting our students come and play sports. So that has been a number one for our students to be able to connect. And whether that's playing soccer, we've had football players, but we've also had young ladies that have been cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm. I was one of them.
That's right.
I was one of them.
we've had in the past a few students who've been able, we've been able to figure out their schedules that they've been able to go over for Jeannie Hunter's drama class, which is wonderful. I believe this has been years ago. Again, remember, Susie, after a while, they just blend together.
I understand.
I believe we had another student who went over for one of John Brownell's choir classes. Things are a little trickier now with our block schedules, and it's hard to kind of make them line up the best way, but we do what we can. And we've worked really hard to have that working relationship in the best way we can for our kids. This year we also changed our bell schedule, so we get out a little bit earlier. So students are able to then go see their friends who got out at the same time, go to those sporting events or their practices. We have a lot of students that also do different athletics outside of any school. We, you know, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, dance, lacrosse.
It's big now.
Yeah, it's really big now. So we try to encourage that, and they're also getting to those kids in those places too.
So as a school counselor, Angela, yes. What, how do you see, this is your first year, so you're still figuring it out.
It's my first year in a job associated with this, but yes, mm-hmm. When I was in the ER, I did quite a lot of crisis intervention and stuff like that with our patients there mm-hmm. as well. So
there's a big learning curve on some of the ways that you can support the mm-hmm. students.
Oh, you should have seen her face yesterday when I made her sub sixth grade. It was fabulous, Susie.
I love that.
Oh, that was so great.
But I survived. I survived. We did it. I had an awesome partner with me, Laura Scott, who's our health teacher, and she's amazing and had great support from the actual teacher that was out for the day with lessons and stuff, so it was fun.
It's actually really good for you, because otherwise you can be in an office and waiting for them to come to you,
I know, but what's so fun for me, though, is that I've always been one that it's like, I love the additional work, and I love being challenged in that aspect, and I don't mind wearing all the different hats, so a couple of the other things I do, you know, I'm basically our designated school nurse now, just with my medical background. And then I also help with advanced opportunities for our middle school students, so who take additional high school courses if they want to advance in their credits and put those credits towards their high school diploma. So that's been quite the journey as well, and it's been fun.
It sounds like we have three women here with really big jobs that aren't just one job, that spew out into all areas, mm-hmm. and that is part of what makes Forestburg Charter School unique and special and really there for the students and families, I think. We have any last things that you'd like to talk about? Either just say your name and tell us something that you'd like the community to know about the school and your
ladies go first.
Yeah, and your experience so far.
Well, we were just talking, you know, and the word team comes to my mind when I think about the charter school. We're a team. Yes, I have a mentor teacher, but also Jennifer's here with me, and Angela is willing to help me at any turn if I need help, and so are every single person of staff in that school is so helpful. And they have the best intentions, and they are the nicest humans. And a big shout out to them, because they work really hard to support our kids. They support me personally all the time. I ask questions all the time. And they're just really, really good people. And we're a team. We all lift our weight. If I'm not able to carry some of my weight, another teacher comes along. They're like, hey, Morgan, let me help you. Let's do this together. And it's really a team effort. We're a family and a team.
Yeah, and I would have to agree with that. You know, one thing my mom always said to us growing up was it takes a village. And it quite literally takes a village. And our village is awesome and fun and lively and vibrant. And, you know, as Morgan just said, coming into an environment where, you know, you could ask a teacher or any one of the staff members for any additional help, and there's no questions to be asked after that. They are right there next to your side helping you along the way. You know, and the fun thing for me, too, is having Jennifer as my mentor, because I'm also in college full time still. You know, it's like the way that she goes about it, and I keep telling her she wears this invisible cape on her shoulders every single day, just as basically I would say all of our staff members do to a degree. And it's made my schooling so much less stressful, because I'm right in the middle of practicums right now, and being able to talk to her on a day-to-day basis. And then again, as Morgan said, you know, being able to go to the teachers and talk to them about different students and concerns, there's just, I can't even really say that I get stressed, or if I do, it doesn't last very long because of the amount of support that I have and how amazing our students are.
Yeah.
Our students are so unique, and, you know, individuality is something that we really, really promote in our school, and I love it, because seeing all these kids come in with their own personalities, their own quirks, their own things that they love to do, it's just so much mm-hmm. fun.
I think one of the things that really supports an individual growing up is being seen
yes.
by the adults in their world, and it sounds like that's a cultural part of Forestburg Charter School.
So, very much so.
Yes.
Yeah, so Jennifer, any last bits of, because we've just heard some great information.
You know, it's funny, I think about our culture at the school a lot, and it's, and I'm sure there are other schools out there, and there are other pockets within the schools in our community that are like this too, but it just feels so good to be in a school where if I walk in and I have Shaney Wade, one of our teachers, sees that I'm having a hard time, she goes, come here, bring it in. And
she gives
you a big hug. You go over to the high school, and I'll take time just sitting at a table in the middle of our large classroom, or high school, excuse me, and kids just come and sit and start talking, to the point where I get in trouble with the teachers because they're talking to me and not going to class, and I need to get them to go to class. And that there's a sense of fun, there's a sense of play, there's a sense of work. You know, Cahill Gibran always says, work is your love made visible. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I see when I come to work every day at a charter school.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, there you have it, our interview with three awesome women from the Forest Burke Charter School, Principal Jennifer Greaves, middle school teacher Morgan Bloomer, and new school counselor Angela Harden. I wish you the best in your new year. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing the beauty of Forest Burke Charter School and all that you do. And thanks for supporting the students and the families, because we have a big world out there, and this is their launch pad, so to speak. Yes. You're their launch pad.
Yep.
It makes a huge difference. Everybody will tell you that when they think about their high school and middle school years. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
And folks, listeners at KRFY, if you missed all or part of today's interview with the Forest Burke Charter School folks, you can go to our website, KRFY.org. The podcast of this interview will be on a little bit later. We're going to go and have a song right now, and then I'll be back with some community information and the community calendar and a little bit more about KRFY. And so enjoy this song by Ruthie Foster. It's called Woke Up This Morning, and we'll be right back.
Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind.